Your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. It's 11th and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Neary and I shall be your host for the day. Aaron Green is joining me as I talk a little bit about an event, talk a little bit about social construct inside the Bahamas and interviews and the general news, what's trending inside the Bahamas at this present time. But something got my attention over the weekend and I said, let me send it to Aaron to see if she noticed what I noticed. If she is concerned on why I am concerned, right? I got a flyer. And it's an American flyer, right? And they have an event, a big event happening on, let's see, September 12th.
11th and 12th.
11th and 12th. That's actually next year, is it? It's next year. So next year, September 11th and 12th, is a festival. It's a festival, says the Gullah Geechee have an X. I'm not sure if that's decoration. Bahamian, they have another X. Creole Festival. And they have the GBC. G meaning Gullah, B meaning Bahamian, meaning Creole Festival, happening next year in September. It's going to be, I think that's Georgia. They didn't give point the place.
No, I think it's South Carolina.
South Carolina, okay. It's one of those southern states, South Carolina, Aaron says. And they held the picture of the Bahamian flag there, brisk and bold in the center, right? It's the anchor that links the Gullah Geechee flag banner. And I'm not sure what this Creole decoration is and why they chose it. But I raised an alarm. I raised an alarm because I've seen it before. I've discussed it before. And I remember having a conversation with Aaron about Junk Canoe. There was an international Junk Canoe festival. It should happen this year, right?
I think so.
It should happen this year where the Bahamas was not invited to attend, to participate.
Or was uninvited.
Or was uninvited. And I'm going to tie it on to this. Mike raised a concern with that, but we're going to talk about that Junk Canoe festival. They had a Junk Canoe conclave of all Junk Canoe jurisdictions to come to Canada. This event is being hosted by Africans. Nothing wrong with that because the canoe, John Canoe history, I appreciate that. But the spelling of Junk Canoe, J-U-N-K-A-N-O-O, is coined for the Bahamas alone. I can tell you the narrative on how the Bahamas got the name specifically, but it's coined. That spelling itself is coined by the Bahamas. It's owned by the Bahamas, right? And then we found out that the Bahamas was not invited or disinvited, but they have in our Junk Canoe costumes highlighted, promoted, right? And they have the narrative, but no Bahamian is invited to participate. Now moving back to this Gullah Geechee Creole Festival. I do not know who is hosting this festival. I do not know if any Bahamians are invited to this festival. I'm not sure if Bahamians are involved in this special in this festival in any particular kind of way. But what I know is our flag is being used. And as Bahamians, we need to be defensive of things that is our symbol, eh?
Yeah.
That means we need to ask questions.
You can't be rowing Bahamians about using the national flag, quote unquote, improperly, but pay no attention to foreign entities using the flag any old way without permission.
And try to make money off our flag.
In fact, you know, when we saw the restructuring of cabinet and the ministries and social services became social services, broadcasting and information, mm-hmm. I thought that the information portfolio would work in collaboration with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to operate a unit mm-hmm. that used AI to just scour the internet on a daily basis for any reference of Bahamian or any Bahamian symbol, so that we can determine whether we need a national response, whether we need to identify the agencies or NGOs or businesses that may have been referenced, so that they could be aware of what's being said about them individually and us as a country and be able to respond to it.
You said so well. And definitely, I think in our exuberance to be a part, to be identified with the United States, to say, well, we are connected to an American history. Right? We give up our rights. We give up our narrative, our ethos of who we are as a people. We are not easily defend, right? Jamaicans would have been vexed. They would be in vexed around and say, hey, some Jamaicans got to perform. Some Jamaicans got to be there.
If you have the Bahamian fly, and you can call it a Gullah Geechee Bahamian Creole festival, and you don't have Bahamians prominently featured. So now here's the next thing. What if there are Bahamians who are part of this, right?
Okay.
What if there are Bahamians living in the Bahamas mm-hmm. and they haven't said anything? What if they're Bahamians in the diaspora, right? I think I was just reading recently, I'm not sure if it's Jamaica, one of our Caribbean countries, I think, has a new unit. It's focused on the diasporic activity, right? Is there somebody outside of the consular space, right? Like, is there a specific unit that tracks what's going on in the diaspora,
yeah.
what Bahamians are doing, and then sends a protocol. It looks exciting.
Yes.
Here are the protocol, here are the requirements. Yes. If you're using Bahamian national symbols, mm-hmm. if you're using the country's name, mm-hmm. this is what you expected to follow.
Yes. And from there, there should be a narrative or in terms of an informal invitation to the Ministry of Culture or Ministry of Tourism that we be present to mm-hmm. make sure whatever you are perpetrating as being Bahamian is in fact Bahamian.
And authorized Bahamian, right? Like, so I could go abroad and I could tell stories about the Chikchani.
Yeah.
Right? But I could also point to Bahamianology, yeah. right? I could point to Essence Magazine and I think I could point to Jet Magazine, right? All stories documenting the presence of the Chikchani in the Bahamas, right? But I'm not going to go abroad and paint myself as a Junkanoo expert.
No.
Right? I could be a Chikchani expert, but I ain't going to go abroad and paint myself as a Junkanoo expert.
But they would have named your name, so Aaron Green from the Bahamas would be there.
Right.
But this is, in the center, is a Bahamian event.
Uh-huh.
And if it's a Bahamian event, I need to know who is hosting this Bahamian event.
And watch this. If Aaron Green gets an invitation from some people to go talk about Junkanoo, because those people heard Aaron Green on the radio talking about Junkanoo. Aaron Green's supposed to go to the Junkanoo community, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a Angelique McKay, mm-hmm. Queen of Junkanoo, who represents the Commandos, the Barabbas, the JCNP. Mm-hmm. I could even find the IQ'd Kenny, mm-hmm. Campbell Moss, and mm-hmm. say, hey, I have an invitation to participate. Two options on the table. Instead, because I think this is an awesome opportunity, give me names of people who may be willing to work on a project with me so we can go and present,
yes.
right? Or let me tell you what I want to talk about, and I send it to the Junkanoo community. Mm-hmm. And you all send it back to me, mark it like teacher, and say, you could say this, you can't say that. Here's how you should say it. In fact, I expect somebody to say, Green, you got this opportunity. Here's the Junkanoo portfolio.
Yeah. Yes. And before we transition, because I want to transition to talk about another subject, right? I want to give a narrative on the connection of the Bahamas to that southern corridor. When you say Gullah and Geechee, Gullah is a grouping, Geechee is a separate grouping, and they combine it now to say Gullah Geechee. And the Gullah
it's not language? One is in people in the other language?
They're sections of Africa. I could use a broad Africa for this point, right? That one is a river, the Geechee River, and Gullah is the language, like I said, but they're still peoples.
They identify peoples. I got you.
They identify peoples and broken language, and they happen to be enslaved and populate a particular area and post-slavery, right? But that goes to Georgia, goes to the Carolinas, and then it goes to the Carolina Islands, right? Mm-hmm. There are people, black people, who have an accent similar to ours. But there's also white Americans
have the same accent.
Same accent, or what you call Hopetown accent, accent Hope with Hopetown, and that Spanish Well accent. They have white Americans who have that accent also,
mm-hmm.
that shares that heritage mm-hmm. with us, which gives that connection that when they came from after the American Revolution, American Revolution, going back to them, that when they immigrated, and they immigrated from back south or immigrated north to Canada, they brought their accent and their heritage with them. Yeah. And there are a number of countries that share the Gullah Geechee heritage with the Bahamas, you know, Barbados, Bermuda, Canada, and some other, mm-hmm. Belize, where they have similar accents.
Yeah.
But not exactly like that, but ours are closer because of proximity, maybe. But I wanted to give that narrative also, that we appreciate the connection, the connectivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple of phrases that they still use that perhaps use, like the word day clean. You know what day clean means? You ever heard
of it? That's when the sun come up, right?
When the sun comes up. It isn't used here in New Providence, per se. But in Eleuthera, they said, I'll come see you day clean. Right, mm-hmm. That's used in the Gullah Geechee language, also.
And it just wake up; it ain't get dirty yet.
It ain't dirty yet. Yeah, brand new son. So we do have a heritage with them, but our accent has been formed from the Caribbean movement, also our proximity to the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and then the various free enslaved persons who came here all created an accent. Or a language that we speak. And Bahamian Creole is independent from the Gullah Geechee accent mm-hmm. because it was formed differently. It sounded like, but it was formed differently. It's completely independent.
There is a social media personality.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Harvard professor in linguistics. He's a black man, locks. He's one of us. Mm-hmm. And he... His website is sumchau.com. So it's sunnmcheau.com, right? He's Gullah Geechee, right? And he's a Harvard professor, and he does work around language and understanding language and its fluidity and how sometimes we get stuck in these standard rules around language. And it's fascinating to see this black boy with locks.
Mm-hmm.
He's a locksy dreads boy. Very well spoken,
mm-hmm.
very learned, very laid back, very like us, Caribbean, you know. I'd say for people to check him out, it's Sun Mcho. Mm-hmm. Sun Mcho, right? S-U-N-N.
Sun-cho.
Say it again?
Sun-cho.
Yeah, I guess that's how you pronounce it too. Mm-hmm. sunnmcheaux.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, code switching, the fluidity of language.
We code switch in the Bahamas.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, especially in the tourist area, they turn talk American. They go into that Gullah Geechee man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me. I don't know if we're going to touch on the immigration stories,
we're
right?
We're going
right
next to that soon.
You know, we are concerned that Haitian migrants and culture will take over the Bahamas and seem to have no concern that in our use of American affect as a tool to engage the tourist,
mm-hmm.
that we are at risk of being consumed by that same American culture, and that we are more at risk of being consumed by North or Global North and North American culture than we are being consumed by Haitian culture.
Well, the American culture is a dominant culture in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamian culture is sub-
to the American culture, which is so I could understand why Bahamians feel so concerned about the loss of Bahamian culture, but they they've been misdirected. Your fear is real, but it's because of your allegiance to an American culture that your Bahamian culture is weakened and at threat of being consumed by any culture.
Yes.
So you don't mind being a American culture. You find it attractive and appealing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Haitian culture that you don't find appealing, despite what it is.
Yeah. And we have a sub Haitian and Jamaican culture that is prominent here, mm-hmm. but it's now a part of Bahamas. It's not identically Jamaican because it's a prefix. You know that dash. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a Jamaican Bahamian culture mm-hmm. and a Haitian Bahamian culture that is only found here in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Only found here in the Bahamas.
And so, like our friend Isaac say from Cat Island, your culture is your antidote, right? That's your immune system. That's what protects you. And so you're not at risk of Haitian culture consuming your culture because Haitian culture is consuming your culture. You're at risk of your culture being consumed by anybody.
Yes.
Because you find a different culture, North American culture, more appealing.
Yes. But let's transition right here.
Yeah, yeah,
I wanted to talk about a recent interview. And I found it problematic, you know, but I smile at it. I wanted to bring it to the public's attention. I would know if the good gentleman's doing a tour, right? Because it's like the third place that he has done an interview recently. I know there are a number of people who are putting their names out for political attraction. I'm not sure if that is the case,
mm-hmm.
but it was referenced in the interview that if it comes along, you might be entertained by it, but not at this present time, right? So I am cool with that, right? But the conversation itself in that interview I found entertaining, mm-hmm. not necessarily alarming, but I engaged it and I said, like, let me bring some of the points to the listening audience so we can have a conversation about that. But I'll let you read the article if you have pieces of that. So it'll be a continued conversation later on. Right. The week.
So it appears as if the Tribune broke that interview down into a couple of stories, right? Mm-hmm. There may be more, but here we find two of them. I didn't see the interview itself.
Okay.
I wasn't aware of it. But the first article is activist says Bahamas immigration laws remain strict and officers are, quote, doing their jobs, close quotes. That's Nassau Tribune, Friday, 8th of August. The second headline is continued influx of Haitians driven by local employers, says Georges. That's Nassau Tribune, again, Friday, August the 8th. Right? So like I said, I think both articles are pulling separate statements
choose
from the same interview.
Choose whatever we want to read so we can analyze.
All right. So let's start with the second one, continued influx of Haitians driven by local employers. Immigration rights activist Luby Georges said the continued influx of Haitians entering the Bahamas illegally is driven by local employers and developers who persist in hiring them. Mr. Georges, a private immigration consultant, said he believes there are more legal than illegal migrants in the country. That's how the article starts. He noted the widespread assumption that all Haitian migrants are undocumented, but acknowledged that many still choose to enter illegally rather than follow proper immigration protocols. He made the comments in response to questions about public frustration over illegal migration during an interview on Beyond the Headlines with guest host Francesca Brown on Wednesday. Mr. Georges described migration as being driven by both, quote, push and pull, close quotes, factors. He said many are fleeing dire conditions in Haiti while being drawn to the Bahamas by the promise of economic opportunity. Quote, why are they not sailing towards Cuba? Why are they not sailing towards Jamaica? They are sailing, but not in the numbers that they're coming this way because of economic opportunities, close quotes, Mr. Georges said, referring to illegal migrants. Quote, these people are economic migrants looking for jobs. The reality is, though, when they get here, most likely they are finding jobs. They are being hired, close quotes. Haiti's worsening conditions marked by political instability, escalating gang violence, widespread poverty, and a lack of effective governance have forced many of its citizens to seek better lives abroad. The Davis administration's Unregulated Communities Task Force has recently resumed efforts to demolish shanty towns, issuing 30-day eviction notices to residents. Media visits to these communities in the past have shown that they are currently occupied by Haitians, some of whom are legal residents, undocumented migrants, or Bahamian citizens. These areas are often considered health and safety hazards, lacking basic infrastructure such as running water, electricity, and sanitation. Mr. Georges was asked about the resistance from some residents to leave these unregulated communities. He suggested they would not be living there if they were not being hired by local developers and construction companies. While not excusing the issue, he acknowledged that many migrants are employed in construction across the islands. He cited Abaco as an example of how demand for labor increases economic migration. Before it was destroyed by Dorian in 2019, the mud in Marsh Harbor was one of the largest Haitian shanty towns in the Bahamas. Georges said most of the mud's residents were employed, though he could not confirm their legal status. He reiterated that Haitian migrants could choose to flee to countries like the DR, Dominican Republic, Cuba, or Barbados, but many still select the Bahamas as they weigh their options in desperate search of economic relief. So that's the first article.
The first article. I want to read it. I don't have the source of it, right? It says Caribbean overstay rates, FY, wherever FY is, 2023. Right?
Fiscal year.
Okay. I don't know where the source is, but it's circulating, right? It's like, well, let me let you read it one time. It only has parts of it, right? I want to have that as part of the narrative in terms of we are hiring immigrants, in this case, Haitian immigrants, to fill our construction boom. We know that, right? It's big business. We will need them. We are employing them. We are courting them. And the article suggests that because there's work, we're bringing them in. Right? But I want to put this in the record.
Okay, so Caribbean overstay rates fiscal year 2023. Country total overstay rate in overstay rate.
So what's an overstay?
So that's when you've entered the country legally documented, right?
Via plane.
Okay. It's got in the instance of Haiti via plane.
Yes.
Right? So you've entered legally, you have a visa, you have status in the country. Mm-hmm. You do not leave the country on the date indicated on your visa that you must leave the country. Okay. So you overstay,
we have a definition.
Right. So you entered the country legally, but at this point you may be documented, but you are not supposed to be in the country.
This is a U.S. statistics, by the way. Go ahead.
All right. So in the U.S., for Haiti, there's two country total overstay rate in and country overstay rate. 31.38% and 31.06%.
That means a third of the people who visited the United States, so for whatever reason, from Haiti, decide they ain't going back home or they overstay.
Yeah.
That's a third of them who traveled to the...
decided that they would stay.
They stay in.
All right.
Okay.
Next on the list is Jamaica. The percentage drops significantly.
Listen, from 30%. To what, Jamaica?
5.25 and 5.11%.
And they said that Jamaica, even with that 5%, is high.
Yeah.
But then contrast to the Haitian population, that is small. So I want to know, I can let you run through the numbers. If this is the American statistics, right? And again, I cannot claim the source, so we could go and do the search, right? We have planes who come from Haiti back and forth because they have the construction job. Can we assume that a third of the immigrants, just by this statistics, may decide that they ain't going back home or they go overstay somehow? Since we are when you compare in countries like United, what's happening in the United States can be happened in the Bahamas.
I think it's not going to be as simple as that, because imagine somebody enters the country legally, right? And then immigration and customs acknowledge that, hold on, we don't have an exit stamp for this person, right? But because we are a transshipment point, whether that the thing being transshipped are humans or contraband, somebody who doesn't have an exit stamp may not still be in this country.
Yeah.
They may have left here and been trafficked or smuggled into another jurisdiction.
The Haitian artist who came to sing and end up in Abaco, but never flowed in the back. You know how he get into the country?
Right, this allegation that he entered undocumented, it was seen, observed, and then there's no record of, well, they can't find him, right?
He disappeared.
There's no record of him entering the country. There's no record of him leaving the country. And, you know, there's been no indicator that he's been found, right? Like, we just don't know. We don't know if he perished in
Or move
Abaco,
or move on to the States.
Perished on the way out of Abaco, on the way out of the Bahamas, perished in the States or is in the States, right? But so it's not going to be as simple as comparing and making an assessment like that.
Okay. Let's go through the numbers.
All right. So Jamaica is 5.25. Guyana, 5.59. Dominican Republic, 4.59. The Bahamas, 1.43%. St. Lucia, 1.96%. I don't know why St. Lucia is lower than the Bahamas on this list, though. Barbados, 0.52%. Trinidad and Tobago, 0.77%. Antigua and Barbuda, 1.38%. These stands out with the highest overstay rates in the region, over 31%, one of the highest globally. This is from CNW, so I guess that's Caribbean News Weekly Network. Jamaica also registers a significantly elevated rate at 5.25% total, with 5.11% still in country. CNW Network, Guyana, 5.59% and Dominican Republic, 4.59%, respectively, are slightly above most Caribbean peers. I would have expected Guyana's numbers to be higher, but then maybe my assessment is wrong. Maybe Guyana actually has a very strong kind of support system to support Guyanese migrants in America to ensure that they're staying within compliance with the law.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I just want to bring that in, too.
Many others, including the Bahamas, St. Lucia, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, and Antigua and Barbuda, record relatively low rates, under 2%.
Hmm. Yes. Bahamians tend to come home, right? You go visit, and one or two might stay.
Yeah,
because
the ease of travel, right? The ease of travel. For me, I could go when I want to go. Hmm. My biggest issue is the cash, not restrictions, right? And so I it's never been a... It says, right, like how we sit. I could say I would have never thought, what you mean Bahamians can't go to the U.S.?
Yes. I just want to bring in the conversation and bring back into the initial article from the Tribune. Let's read the next article also to get it into the record.
All right. The second article, activist says Bahamas immigration laws remain strict and officers are, quote, doing their job, close quotes, Nassau Tribune, Friday, 8th of August. Despite Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard's claims that the immigration system has become broken and corrupt under the Davis administration, immigration rights activist Luby Georges insists the country's immigration laws remain strict. Okay, I wanted to say something, but I was waiting for you to tell me, though.
No, I was trying to say a dramatic pause. Go ahead.
Remember we were grading and making an assessment,
yes.
Opposition, right? Pintard fell into this partisan trap.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you just say that claims the immigration system has become broken and corrupt under the Davis administration?
Yes.
The issues that are being highlighted have persisted from administration. Why you disrupt the conversation by calling it a partisan issue?
And now it turns political.
Right. It is political in the sense that it appears as if there's incoherence at the political stage that is causing dysfunction. It's not a partisan conversation.
Mm.
The conversation for me, I think, is how do you remove any, how do you manage any potential conflict of interest? And how do you ensure that these processes and procedures remain above or outside of kind of political interference?
Let me stop you there and ask you this question.
Yeah.
What would be the major issues for this election? To you? Like, let me... Four major issues you think that nationally the Bahamian people say, I want the government, and by extension, the opposition, to have a response for or a plan for.
All right, and not specific to immigration, issues.
No.
Like I tell you, the first one is the state's inability to cause and compel people to discipline themselves.
So you believe the parliamentary... governance, behavior.
More than just that, right? I think in Parliament we out where there seems to be a disregard for the rules, policies, and regulations that control the space. And then the flaunting of things. Like, why even talk about, why have a question time if y'all just gonna play with it? Mm. I mean, that's the most infuriating thing. Why even entertain it if y'all just gonna play with it like little children? But that's just a parliamentary space. Then we go to the cabinet space, right? Mm-hmm. We go to the cabinet space in terms of the publishing of policy, how quickly you could move on policy, how quickly you whoever's in charge of the particular ministry policy portfolio can follow the timeline, right? Discipline could follow the timelines required. Let's talk about public disclosure is an easy one. It's just a joke. There's no discipline there. And you expect people to respect the offices created by the Constitution, to respect the procedures created by the Constitution, while y'all disregard the rule of law constantly, right? We get to the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and justice must not just be done, it must be seen to be done. It's been a complete devolution of discipline in the Royal Bahamas.
Governance and discipline in governance.
The ability to govern and to compel people to govern themselves, to moderate their behavior, to comply, that's the biggest issue we face. From fiscal policies to public infrastructure to security systems to BPL and BEC.
So before I go to the scholar, this would be a political football that is important to the Bohemian public, that they'll raise this issue and demand a response.
No, I didn't say all of that. I didn't say all of that, Mr. Fury.
I come to your
You asked me, and I'm saying that I think that that is the single most important issue on the table. It touches every single space. Listen, you have the Prime Minister here on the paper says Davis urges killers to turn themselves in. Did Davis urge Kirk Cornish to go to the police when they requested that he come to them?
He said the lady, he heard a lady in personal charges.
Oh, no, why would you even say that out loud? I like my Prime Minister. I would have asked the whole world to forget that foolishness. Why would you say that out loud, Mr. Newry? That was the most devastating thing.
That's what the man
said. Yeah, it was so unfortunate that he said it, right? But this is what I'm saying. A lack of discipline. These guys don't even know when to say no comment.
Let's go to the caller in the meantime, but I should pick up two more things.
Sorry about that.
You run on. Go ahead, caller. Guy didn't read your AM.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. 50 years plus, right? First generation Bahamian, right? And I don't think I should have the same rights as those who's been in Bahamas or who's like 14 generation Bahamians, right? And I say that, right? Okay, you going to? I'm from Turks and Caicos. That's my family island, Turks and Caicos, not the Bahamas, right? Now, if you go in Turks and Caicos, you would have like more Bahamian children. You understand what I'm saying? In the Turks and Caicos than Turks and Caicos children. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bahamian children born in the Bahamas, but living in Turks and Caicos, working in Turks and Caicos. You have Bahamians in the Turks and Caicos, like myself, who own property and homes in the Turks and Caicos, right? So therefore, you see, we should have the right to work, buy property, and the like. But as far as I don't even think we should have the right to vote or.
Cousin,
hold on.
I was about to recuse myself from this conversation because, you know, I got family in Turks too, right?
Right.
But no, what you mean? I can't vote in the Bahamas because
I... you have a debate. You understand me?
I got you. Yeah. Let's put it on the table, yeah.
Right. See, what I'm saying is, the Turks and Caicos is my family island. That's where my honor is. That's like how your honor is in a particular island. Now, if you are dual, you know, I'm saying both of my parents are from the, not, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You see, so, and then we say like, you know, we like to say, we just said today, and there's a thing in the news, right, about the Haitian kids are committing crime because they can't vote in the Bahamas? What about the Bahamians who are doing crime? Why are they doing crime?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to say because they're poor. So all of a sudden, the Haitians, they are doing crime because they can't vote.
I hear you.
Make that make sense to me.
I got you.
In other words, if you, the only thing you don't have time to do is vote, you can go to Haiti and vote.
No.
You understand? You could go to Haiti and get French reparation. You understand? You got farm the generation on in Haiti. Things you could do in Haiti, things I could do in what you call it, Tyson Kegas, you can do, say, many famous, you know what I mean?
I hear
famous
you.
Of 14 generations can do that.
I appreciate it, and I'm glad.
Come in this land I got in the Tyson Kegas, the island where I'm from, the settlement where I'm from, they own it. My namesake own it. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? The high school and the island, the bread basket name after my namesake.
And I definitely appreciate all of that you're saying, but they put Turks and Caicos. Turks and Caicos are going through a rough time with immigration. Mm-hmm. And you being connected to Turks and Caicos, I want us to have a conversation about the parallels of immigration in Turks and Caicos in contrast to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. It'll be a good conversation, and I hope you hear me so you can participate in that when I do have that conversation. But let's go. The phones are lit up. Let me go to these callers. Go ahead, caller. Guy Nuri.
Hello, that's me.
Yes, sir.
You.
Good morning, Mrs. Green, and good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
Miss Green, mm-hmm. my grandfather from Bottle Creek, North Caicos, my grammy. This on my daddy's side from Middle Caicos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see your people from Texas Island. Who they is? Where you
no,
from?
No, we can't talk about that on the radio right now. Just know that my...
So you're not one of those indigenous Bahamians then? Just asking. You're not one of those indigenous Bahamians then? Because you are.
This boy think we in the water, you know. He
I'm just saying.
Today.
You was one of the mixed breed people.
He's tribal thing, Sudio.
You can't. You won't get none of the land. You won't get none of the land and what that money they put on the $100,000.
Sovereign wealth
over there in Texas Island.
No, I talk with here.
Oh, you consider me as a paper Bahamian?
He's a paper Bahamian. Just letting you know.
Man, listen. My maternal grandfather is from Turks and Caicos. We could talk.
My mother's a Bahamian.
That's okay.
A man, power from Master Point and Roxanne.
You can't get the money. That's what making sure.
Yuri, how long I've been here?
Over 180 years.
I can get the money?
No, you can't. You mix blood too.
What?
You can't get the money.
She's green, right?
Listen, yeah, but she can't get the money.
It's problem. You could see I mix. I mix with European.
Hey, tell me something, guys, please, if it's possible. That company, what's supposed to be dealing with cable, phone, and internet, and all of that. Would you call it something link or something?
Pause, because they're not supposed to be dealing with phone. See, that's
so
a part of it, right?
Dealing with light and
no, so they're doing, so they do like home internet, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they have an option, I think it may be only for Americans, like a cruising package. So you have your home internet, but you could travel with it, right? But
no satellite TV or cable or nothing?
No, it's just internet, like internet service. Remember, Batelco and I think Alive Rev were concerned about the process or the potential. Like they're saying, look, we're a big company. We could handle competition. We're really more concerned about the process of bringing in a third mobile provider. So, no, Starlink isn't providing mobile services right now.
So, Starlink, we could use the internet to get mobile and cable, right?
Well, no. You could use their internet. You can't get the cable services, but you could use a Fire Stick or you could use a VPN or you could use other tools to access media on the internet.
Okay. Even the set on the cable channel, say?
Yeah, like if, Anil, you should be able to access it outside of the Flow or the Rev service.
I think, yeah, that'll be good if they could come on sometime and explain it to us on... Let us know what they offer and if it's possible. But one last question.
In fact, let's be very clear here, though. What we may find is that ERCO will be coming to us to present to us the restrictions that we are not currently aware of.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
They gotta get the act together and sort it out because we just need to serve better service.
Listen, let me talk about Bahamian identity and who's a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a time
yes.
where what you mean there's no TV guide. Like TV guide is an inherent part of watching TV, right? Whether I have to pay for it or not. But the point is, why? In 2020, our service providers telling us, no, we just provide you with the content. We're not obligated to provide you with a guide to tell you what the content is or when it's going to come on.
I thought it's beyond Channel 5. No, that's a long time ago, Channel 5.
Yeah. No, they have guides, but both service providers, agents of both service providers have told me that a guide is not an inherent part of your service. Like, why you expect to have a guide? Yes, like a privilege. And I just want to say that I don't know when they were born or on which planet they were born, but a guide is inherent with the service.
So they're talking foolishness.
Mr. I mean, thank you for saying it.
Sonic, you get the Tribune there too?
Yeah, I do have the Tribune.
Tell me something. The killing over the weekend, so sad. It seems like this problem is everywhere, right? But particularly Miami Gardens in Miami, Florida. Takes in Caicos Island. I hear the Prime Minister or the Premier talk about the problem. He say he ain't cutting up, he ain't playing with no words. He talk about who causing the problem, what they doing. Here in Nassau and Abaco, really, all over the Bahamas, but Nassau especially, Abaco and Freeport, we seems to have the same problem. Someone was saying in the papers there's a mother, a Creole-speaking female, was saying something. It was reported in the papers, in the Tribune. Do you see?
I'm looking at the front page.
And I think us parents, right? My point is that as parents, we got to take some of the blame, some of the responsibility for what our kids them doing. I know some of us trying our best, right? But we got to put our foot down, man. We got to talk to our children. We got to tell them this ain't making no sense, man. We got to search our house and look for guns. You understand? Look for these things, them. Because they somewhere. We have to talk to our children. We have to pray. Continue to pray.
Okay, hold on. Pause. Prayer's good. Family bonds are good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good. That is not enough. That's not enough.
You say prayers is not enough?
No. It's not enough. It's not sufficient. And you're doing your children a disservice if all you could do is give them prayers. Now watch this.
I know.
It's
important, though.
Right. As individuals, right? We do what we can with what we have.
Yes.
However, parents need to be able to rely on stronger systems. Saying pray is not sufficient. There are economic issues. There are housing issues.
I agree.
Right? Listen, I don't expect children who have to walk to school on roads where adults don't give two hoots about them. On their phones. Almost knocking down the children, and hitting running. And you all expect these children to have sense, to have decency in their heart? We treat these children like pot cakes.
Yeah.
We have no concern for their economic stability. We have no concern for their psychological stability.
But you got to keep that president because it's a spiritual warfare. Not just a cultural warfare. It's a spiritual warfare.
Yes. You can cause me. Listen, prayers.
Thank you very much.
Prayers are important.
So what the woman say in Creole? What she say in Creole? What
no, I. So I'm looking at the paper, but I can't.
But you know, us blind people can't see it to read. I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you, Mark.
Right. I hear you. Nuri, you go on. I can pass through the article to see if I can find a specific quote.
Today, the government has invited the stakeholders who will be talking about the Junk New Authority. The stakeholders include the JCNP, the NJ, National
Junkanoo Committee.
I thought it was National Junkanoo Committee.
It's BNJC.
Oh, okay. Good.
I mean, it's referenced both ways in multiple government publications.
Yes. There will be some ambassadors of culture, because we have a few of them. There'll be some stakeholders who will be a part of the authority when the commission or authority is going to be taking place. There'll be some Junkanoo anthropologists who will be saying the history of Junkanoo, and some culturalists who understand what Junkanoo is supposed to represent. So all of them will be there present. People who won't be present will be the Bahamian people or the wider audience, because the Bahamian people are spectators to Junkanoo, and only those who are vested in Junkanoo proper were invited to attend. Bahamians were regulated to watch it on TV. But spectators do. Spectators watch it. Those who are involved, who pace and who beat the drum, who go in the shack in the long hours, will be present. However, I'd like to say that the JCNP boycotted the meeting. Let's go. We're going to take the short.
That's right. Anglo-Saxons coming back.
We're going to take the short.
Take over everything.
Short break. And then we'll talk about that. We can talk about this authority meeting and whether enough notice was given by the government for this invitation. Who all should be attending this government? Do the Bahamian people have a say? Should we be there to make noise too and say what we see Junkanoo to be about? And can the JCNP boycott without putting their position in. Should they be there to make noise? Anyway, we got this is Guardian Radio AM. We're going to take this short commercial break. We're going to reference, go and talk to Kermit in the background and see if he's hear anything about this.
Resident Junk New Expert.
Yeah, Resident Junk New Expert. You guys got to beat him. We'll be right back.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes out the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying that. Man, just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
All right, here we go!
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We're going to go to the caller. Oh, the caller, hang up. It's coming to you next. Okay, I was coming to you next. Caller, call back. Apparently, the JCNP did not show up. And they might have a reason why. The chaplain showed up, by the way.
But, you know, with all of the irony that the Prime Minister had on display this weekend, I didn't think there was enough.
You think it's irony?
They might that have. They didn't show up? That they didn't make it to the gate on time?
Reason not to show up. It's part of their protest. But moving forward, do we expect to see that JCNP won't attend any of the meetings? They won't discuss anything with the government.
Well, let me.
So that's my concern.
I can show you why. When we look at today's Guardian, we see the headline. Oh, and I found a quote for Popper. Government still wants feedback from JCNP, Boleg says. That's in Monday's paper, right? Yep. Today is Monday.
They ain't getting that.
The meeting was at 9 a.m. this morning.
Yes.
So you must have had a sense that they were intending to not come to the thing. Because why would you have this? Why would this statement be made in time for Monday's paper that's published before the consultation? Mm-hmm. Did you not expect them to come?
Mm-hmm. Were they invited properly? A week's notice? So, hey, by the way, next week.
Because I can be honest with you, the first time I saw any indication that there was going to be a public consultation session today at 9 a.m. was yesterday, with less than 24 hours.
Less than 24 hours?
Right.
Notice. I noticed there was a late advertisement, and perhaps that's the reason why the JTM.
On my thing, when you ask me the four things I think are most pressing, the inability to move at the pace of your own policies.
That's a number two.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this and hash it out now because we're going to a different...
See, and I want people to see, it's not, we're not talking about scandal. We're not talking about salacious...
I can interrupt you and try to quickly explain what you mean by that one point so we don't leave that. The inability to keep up with it.
Okay, very recently we had an article in the paper where a foreign company indicated that they wrote to the government and said, look here, we have to sue y'all for this $1 million because y'all have not met the terms of the agreement, right? The commercial enterprise bill where we have a policy that says, okay, you apply for a work permit. If we don't respond to you in 15 days, then just assume that we approve the work permit.
And I'm thinking, okay, Carl, I come to you now.
We've inculcated it into policy. That's how bad we are at it.
And I think you're trying to say that the government have big ideas, but cannot execute any of the big ideas that they have.
Because they cannot, but it's a narrow focus. They are unable to determine the amount of momentum they need, and they are unable to realize it, right? But it's a cultural problem. The same way that people... when they're entering a roadway, they are unable to determine the speed of traffic on the roadway. And when they actually enter it, they are unable to maintain the pace of the traffic that they've entered. That's another an example of it in a different way.
Let's go to the callers. I had a couple of them who want to talk briefly. Go ahead, Carla.
Nathaniel, please allow Ms. Green to read it, what she found. Please read it, Ms. Green.
No problem, man. Go ahead.
All right, so reading from the article, Brother Tells of Friends Last Moments, Nassau Tribune, on page 3. His mother, Louis was found lying lifeless nearby after being shot while trying to flee the hail of gunfire. His mother was inconsolable at the scene on Saturday, screaming in Creole with her arms outstretched and her head pressed to the ground. When morticians moved to remove her son's body, she ran past the crime tape and later fainted, prompting two men to carry her away. Her husband, Renald Louis, told the Tribune the family is distraught, describing his son, a recent graduate, as a, quote, good boy, close quotes. He had tried to get him hired at his job where he usually worked during the summers, but without a passport, Louis couldn't take the position. Quote, my bad luck is this year the company don't want to take him without a passport, close quotes, he said. Quote, because he applied for his citizenship but didn't get his passport yet, close quotes. That passport space is another example of an inability to move at the pace of our own policies. And that is, the article continues with quotations from the father. And not the mother. I get the impression that the mother speaks Creole, maybe limited English. There you go.
Okay. There you go, dear Papa. Let's go to the phone lines again. Guardian Radio AM, go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Just a minute.
Okay.
You mean me or the people at the door?
I think it's me. Oh, don't hang up yet. Let's make sure she mean us. No? 5, 4.
Hello.
Yeah, you're there. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning.
Your voice changed.
How's everybody?
Everybody's good.
We good.
Good, good. Interesting conversation, but the time has long passed.
Yes, sir.
That we must get what they deserve, and that is land, so that they can create their drunken shacks.
They get land.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No use fooling around. We have to move forward. And the only way we're going to do it, we must demand that the government to live up to the promise that they did for us many years ago.
What was the promise?
The promise is the land will be provided.
They got the land. They got the land.
They did?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Current number 5, 6, 8 years now. They ain't built nothing yet, though.
They ain't built nothing yet.
Nothing.
Whose fault is that? Is the government supposed to assist them in this regard, or who?
You just asked for land now. You want to build it for them too?
The government may be able to facilitate them, to assist them, but the government not supposed to build it for them.
I should give them government house.
They think they Obie Ferguson.
My God.
No. Sorry, but that's, I didn't mean to involve you in that.
No.
You get the land, though. You get the land. No. They just say they ain't building
nothing. But But the overall objective is something has to be done now, not later.
Yes, sir.
And however you can energize the Jonquinry community to act, well, they must do so.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I thank you, too.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again. Like I said, there may be a myriad of reasons why the JCNP did not attend. I hopefully, in moving forward, that they can come to some kind of compromise that we move forward with the information. But if they're not planning to attend any meeting, if they say that we boycotting straight to the point where if the government just don't, we just ain't junkanooing no more.
You think they have any bathrooms on the land?
Oh.
Go junkanoo. I mean, hold it hostage. Strangle it quickly, please.
Yeah.
Because you've been strangling it slowly.
It's 12:02.
For the last few decades.
We'll talk about this again tomorrow. This is Guardian.
And the critique of the government is that they've used the Junkanoo community as well. They've
yes.
used the dysfunction to their advantage.
Yes.
All at fault.
Let's talk about that tomorrow. This has been Guardian Radio AM. We'll talk about what's wrong with Junkanoo tomorrow.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.